Title of the message this morning is From Despair to Hope. Reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. And what? On earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" One of the questions that Henry had was, where is the peace on earth? We see wars, rumors of war, crime, sickness, disease, earthquakes, floods, drought, famine, broken homes, broken people. So is there a contradiction between what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds and what we see happening on the earth? The angel proclaimed peace on earth, but where is the peace? Naturally, we attribute a trouble-free life as being at peace, and there are times in our lives when everything seems to be going our way. So during the Civil War, this man, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he penned this poem. It was originally entitled Christmas Bells, but was later changed to I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And as you just heard, the song, it tells of hearing Christmas bells during the war. And it was during that time that William's wife of 18 years was fatally burned to death in an accident. And his oldest son, Charles, had been severely wounded in the war, so he had to stay home to take care of him. So Henry wrote again in despair, "Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with a sound, the carols drowned, a peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born, a peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. 'There is no peace on earth,' I said, 'for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.'" And you know, I've also had questioned that, especially growing up and looking around and living in this world. And you'd see the Christmas cards with, you know, the sayings from the angels, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And then again, we see it, all the stuff that's happening in the world around us. And so from our natural understanding, we can say, well, where is the peace? You know, where's the peace that was promised? Well, we understand, simply said, it was the Prince of Peace who came to this world, this sin-sick world, who brought a peace. And it's not a natural peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace of God. It is a peace that is greater than anything we can encounter or face in this world. We can have peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil because God's peace is greater. And God wants every one of us to experience and know and abide in Him who is our peace. We know that there ultimately will be peace on earth and goodwill to men. He said, "Then pealed," and here comes the optimism, "the bells more loud and clear or deep. 'God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.'" So no matter what you see happening today, amen, in the world, know that the wrong will fail and the right will prevail. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's coming to rule and to reign. Hallelujah. And the truth is, fallen humanity can never know real peace because there is no peace without the Prince of Peace. And peace is not even an absence of war, which does offer some external peace, But sometimes war is the only way to have temporary peace. How many know that our peace came at a cost? Jesus paid the highest price that we might have peace with God. So peace is not a result of being tolerant of everyone and everything. Some of the most intolerant people are the biggest preachers of tolerance. Let me read that again. Peace is not a result of being tolerant of everyone and everything. Some of the most intolerant people are the biggest preachers of tolerance. Sometimes the bully has to be confronted and dealt with. Somebody say amen. Because that's what Jesus did. Our Lord Jesus Christ dealt a death blow to the bully of our soul, Satan. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And he made peace available to us through his sacrifice. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. And verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. As you know, nations have been at war since the beginning, and yet peace talks continue. They ask, how can we achieve peace? How can we be at peace with one another? Yet there is still no peace among the nations, because mankind seeks peace but fails to find it. So when there is no peace in the heart, there can be no peace in one's life. If you don't have peace in your heart, you won't have peace in your life. No matter where you roam, no matter, you can live your life on vacation and be tormented, amen, and not have real peace. And some people seek peace within themselves, but find none. Some people say, well, if I can just find myself, I'll be at peace. Well, I found myself. Have you found yourself yet? I didn't find anything good there, actually, in my fallen state, that is. Amen. All I realized then is that I'm a mess and I need somebody to save me, to change me, to rearrange me, and set my feet on solid ground. Amen. Only God could save me from myself. Hallelujah. And the Lord allows us to see ourselves so we can come to the realization that we need him and that in our fallen state, we cannot save ourselves. And that is why Jesus came, to save us from our sin. And the reason why people do not find peace, of course, is because the heart of man is wicked. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, it said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A better translation is in Luke 2:14. This is the amplified, glory to God in the highest, heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. Men of goodwill, or of his favor. So who are the men of his favor? Well, those of us who have been made righteous with God in Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, man can offer worldly comforts, but man can never give peace of heart. People are looking to other people for that, for the answers that only God can answer. So how do we reconcile the angels' announcement of peace on earth with all the chaos in the world? Well, the angels were proclaiming the coming of the Prince of Peace, right? The one who would make peace through his death on the cross. The one who would reconcile God and man. Again, you will never know peace in your life until you have peace in your heart. That's so true, isn't it? Some people think if I can just change my external situation or my circumstances, then I will be at peace. But there's no peace to the natural man, amen, because the natural man is fallen, separated from God, and subject to the chaos of this world, subject to Satan. So God came to deliver us from that, to break the power of sin and Satan, amen, and bring us into sonship, to give us a new name, hallelujah, call us sons and daughters, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, joint heirs with Jesus, citizens of heaven, hallelujah. Our peace is not dependent on this world. Our peace is found in the Lord. Amen. He is our peace. No amount of money, medication, meditation, worldly pleasures, creature comforts, or ease of life can produce the peace of God. Only in Christ can we know the peace of God. And Jesus said in John 14:27, how many know this peace I leave with you? Listen, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, God wants us to have a supernatural peace. That peace that transcends human understanding. And again, when people possess the peace of God in their hearts, that's Christ, then and only then can they have peace on earth. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, hallelujah, how many are looking forward to that? He's going to establish his throne in Jerusalem, and all wars will cease. Man is trying to legislate, you know, come to agreements, peace treaties. How many peace treaties as of late have been broken? Throughout the centuries, amen, man has not been able to find the peace that he craves and he desires in his heart. But Jesus, this time, he's not coming to be mocked. He's not going to be scorned. He's not going to be despised and rejected by men. No. When Jesus returns, he's going to sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shall reign over all the earth. And every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. In Micah chapter 4, verse 2, the prophet said, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. For they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. God will perform his word. But for those who are outside of Christ, there is no hope, there's no salvation, and therefore there's no peace. If you don't have peace in your heart, it means you do not have peace with God. So those who do not have peace in their heart do not have peace with God. We know the Christmas message is for everyone, but we know that God is not pleased with everyone. Romans 1:18, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Not everyone is going to heaven. Only the redeemed will be saved. Natural man cannot know God's peace because he is naturally separated from God because of sin. So God's peace in our hearts is a sign that we have been made right with God. So how can we know God's peace? Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said in Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give them more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Jesus is not just somebody that we add to our life. When you're saved, he becomes your life. He's not just someone you add to your life. When you're saved, when you're born again, he becomes your life. Are you truly saved today? Do you know that? How many know the Christian life is not a modification of our natural life? It's a completely new life. When you're genuinely saved, you are truly changed. God wants you to have his peace today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your indescribable gift. We thank you for the gift of your love. We thank you for your great salvation. Lord, we thank you for what you are willing to do on our behalf, where you are willing to pay the price that we deserve to pay. Lord God, we thank you that you are willing to lay your life down. And we believe, Lord, there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Lord Jesus, we look to you. Our eyes are upon you. We call on you, Lord, who alone has immortality, who alone can save. We pray, Lord God, that salvation will come to our nation, that the eyes of the blind will be opened and they'll see, the ears of the deaf will hear, that we will know the voice of the shepherd, Lord. You said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And I pray, Lord God, that every one of us will be saved. Lord, not only saved, but set apart for you, sanctified, and filled with your Holy Spirit, and raised up, Lord, in your power, your resurrection power. Lord God, that we might bear fruit and glorify you in the earth during the short time that we have left here on this planet. Lord, we want our lives to count for you. You died for us. You gave your all for us. We owe you everything. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of surrender. God is calling you to surrender your life to him and allow him to be not only Savior, but to be Lord of your life. You will follow him. Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. Lord, show us the way. Lead us in the way that we should go for your name's sake. Lord, deliver us from the evil one and preserve us unto your heavenly kingdom. We ask, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on America. Save, Lord. God, we pray for revival in our nation, for an awakening in our nation. God, move upon this nation. Move upon our leaders. Move upon our people. God, that their hearts will be converted and it will turn to you. For there's only hope in you. Only you can save us. Only you can deliver us, Lord, from destruction. That our people will call upon you again. Because the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, again we pray, save America, heal our land, but turn our nation back to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. The day is coming when every one of us will take our last breath. When that happens, you will not be able to go back and redeem the time that has gone by. But you have today, you have this opportunity, even this moment, to commit your life to Him, to live for the Lord, the one who died and rose again for you, who ever lives to make intercession for you, your great high priest, who represents you to the Father. Call upon Him. Draw your strength from Him. Let Him become your life. Let Him be the strength of your life. Jesus wants you to walk in the victory that He has accomplished for you. Jesus wants you to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by the power of the resurrection, the power of the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. You need to have Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God makes new. He doesn't improve on the old. He gives you a new heart. He puts His Spirit within you. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. And it's time for us to take up our cross and follow Him. Hallelujah. Because the Lord knows the way and through the wilderness of this world. And all we have to do is follow. The Lord's eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Will we be that people, that remnant that are loyal to Him, that have lived their lives in this world for Him? Hallelujah. For the time will come when He will call you home. And in that day, you will hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The King of glory left His throne above to come to this sin-sick world, to lay down His life for us. And He did all that so you and I could be made right with God through His sacrifice and have peace on earth. Hallelujah. Peace in your heart. God wants you to have peace. I want to ask everyone to bow your heads just for a moment, if you would. I'm going to ask if no one would look around as well. I just want to make this personal right now. I want you to be honest this morning, because you can leave out of here with the full understanding, the full knowledge, the full understanding that you are a child of God. But let me ask you this. Is there anybody here this morning that would say and be honest and say, "You know, I don't really have that peace in my heart, but I want to have that peace in my heart"? Would you be honest enough just to lift your hands? Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Sometimes the enemy interferes. He comes to rob, doesn't he? He comes to steal our peace. He comes to steal our joy. He doesn't want you to rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't want you to have peace in your heart. But God wants you to have His peace. Is there anybody else here this morning that says, "You know, I need that peace in my heart"? Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand. Praise God. Your honesty. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can all look up if you'd like. Hallelujah. Now listen. There are times in my life where I have lacked peace in my heart. And it was because I allowed external things to interfere with my internal peace. Distractions, that's right. And so we need to make a course direction when that happens. And we just need to get back with God and in the presence of God and let God once again fill us, amen, with His Spirit, with His peace.